morning, everyone, and welcome to the Coca-Cola FEMSA's fourth quarter and full year 2006 earnings result conference call. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded and all participants are in a listen-only mode. At the request of the company, we'll open the conference up for questions and answers after the presentation. During this call, management may discuss certain forward-looking statements concerning Coca-Cola FEMSA's future performance and should be considered as good faith estimates made by the company. These forward-looking statements reflect management expectations and are based upon currently available data. Actual results are subject to future events and uncertainties, which can materially impact the company's actual performance. At this time, I would now like to turn the presentation over to Mr. Hector Trevino, Coca-Cola FEMSA's CFO. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. We achieved strong, balanced top-line growth and solid bottom-line growth in 2006. We generated robust revenues in almost all of our franchise territories, despite the competitive environment in some of our markets and the external realities of ours. Additionally, double-digit increases in operating incomes in our Central American and Colombian markets, along with operating income growth in our Brazilian territory and stable cash flow generation in Mexico, more than offset declines in Venezuela and Argentina. More than ever, our geographic diversification plays a major role in the potential value creation opportunities that our company will achieve going forward. Our total sales volume grew to almost 2 billion cases, up 5.8% from 2005, including comparable growth in our consolidated soft drink business as a result of sales volume increases in all of our territories. Carbonated soft drink volume growth was mainly driven by brand Coca-Cola, which accounted for close to 70% of our incremental volume. Brand Coca-Cola continues to grow strongly across Latin America, demonstrating its wide preference among our consumers and customers. Strong marketing campaigns, combined with our multi-segmentation strategies in our major markets, contribute to this growth. Flavored carbonated soft drinks also were an important growth driver, accounting for almost 13% of our incremental volume during the year. Additionally, we continue to produce strong growth in the non-carbonated beverage segment across our franchise territories, increasing 50% year over year. Flavored water in Mexico, Colombia, and Argentina, coupled with juice-based products in Central America and Brazil, contributes significantly to this growth. Our consolidated revenues rose to $5.2 billion, up almost 7%. Our consolidated operating income improved to 9.5 billion Mexican pesos, approximately $875 million, up 2.6%. Our consolidated EBITDA reached 12.2 billion pesos, or approximately $1.1 billion. And our majority net income increased 2.6% to 4.9 billion Mexican pesos, approximately $450 million, resulting in earnings per share of 2 pesos and 64 Mexican cents, or approximately 24 US dollars per share, 24 cents per share. Importantly, our successful debt reduction, approximately $1.1 billion over the past 4 years, proves the ability of the company to produce strong, sustainable cash flow generation along with our continued business investment. Our gross profit increased 4% in 2006. However, our gross margin decreased 130 basis points as a result of higher cost per unit case in all of our territories, except for Mexico and Argentina. Higher sweetener costs in all of our operations, except for Central America and Argentina, combined with higher packaging costs due to a packaging mix shift to non-returnable presentations, more than offset higher revenues. We are starting to see resin prices come down by more than 10% on a year-over-year basis. Now let me talk about our specific operations. Our Central America operation continued to deliver strong top-line results, posting double-digit volume growth. In 2006, brand Coca-Cola accounted for half of our incremental volumes in the region, with well-balanced growth in single and multi-serve presentations, and supported part of our average price increases. The performance of flavored soft drinks was also an important driver of our growth, thanks to improved execution. The performance of non-carbonated segment of our beverage portfolio was also great, thanks to the strong results of high C. In the fourth quarter, this segment represented 5% of our total sales volume, the highest percentage of all of our operations. The bottom line performance of our Central American territories was also remarkable. Thanks to our strong operating leverage, combined with improvements along the value chain, the region posted a 10.7% increase in operating income for the fourth quarter and a 23.4% increase for the full year. Moving to Argentina, our volume grew 9.9% during the year and 7.6% increase in sales volume for the fourth quarter. Brand Coca-Cola was the main driver of our incremental volumes, accounting for over 85% of our growth. Premium beverages represented almost 15% of our total volumes for the quarter, generating strong growth of almost 23% year over year. In the non-carbonated beverage segment, excluding bottled water, we produced positive results. This segment represented more than 3% of our total volumes in Argentina, almost tripling its size year over year. Cost pressure across the value chain from raw materials to salaries increased our operating expenses by 11% and resulted in a decline in operating income of 9.5% for the fourth quarter. Venezuela, despite disruptions to our operations in October, we were able to post double-digit growth in sales volume for the quarter, ending the year with a 6% increase. Brand Coca-Cola was an important growth driver for the quarter and the year, contributed more than half of our incremental volumes. Flavored carbonated soft drinks also posted strong growth in the quarter, thanks to our SKU rationalization strategy. In the non-carbonated beverage segment, we continue to post strong growth, led by Nestlé and Sunfield, reaching 4.6% of our total sales volume. During the quarter, we started to realize the benefits of the initiatives that we implemented in the second half of the year to retain the path to profitable growth. As we anticipated in the third quarter, we were able to capture part of our top-line growth in the bottom line, posting operating income growth of 33% for the quarter. In Colombia, our operations post 12% carbonated soft drink volume growth in the quarter and 6% for the full year. During the year, we have segmented the market, designing and deploying commercial strategies based on population and socioeconomic levels. Consequently, we have driven countrywide demand for our higher-value Coca-Cola brand beverages in both colas and flavors. Moreover, brand Coca-Cola continued outperforming the rest of our carbonated soft drink portfolio, delivering more than 70% of our incremental volumes in the quarter, supported by marketing initiatives implemented during the year, combined with better execution at the point of sale. Additionally, continuing the previous quarter's trend, our volumes of natural single-serve water presentations increased over 35% in the quarter. Better execution drove these results. In Colombia, our lightweighting initiatives combined with manufacturing efficiencies improvement helped us to compensate the more than 25% sugar price increase in the quarter, resulting in an 11% gross profit growth in the fourth quarter of 2006 as compared to the previous year. Our quarterly operating income increased by almost 40% year over year as a result of improved operating leverage driven by our top line growth and obviously improvements across the value chain. Our operating income margin raised 280 basis points to 17%, the highest one since we acquired the operations in May of 2003. Additionally, by the end of the year, we took prices in the majority of our product portfolio, resulting in a 7.1 weighted average increase in nominal terms. Colombia represents, under any operating and financial metric, a remarkable successful story for Coca-Cola FEMSA. Finally, let's move to our two largest operations, Mexico and Brazil. In 2006, our Mexican operations achieved record revenue and volume of 2.79 billion pesos, $2.79 billion, and almost 1.1 billion unit cases, respectively, including more than 850 million unit cases of carbonated soft drinks. During 2006, our Mexican operations kept profitability relatively stable in the face of some of the highest historical sweetener and resin costs and tough comparative environment in the multi-serve carbonated soft drink segment in the Valley of Mexico. In the fourth quarter, our Mexican operations revenue declined 0.5 percentage point, due mainly to a 3% real price reduction year over year, which more than offset 2.4% volume growth for the quarter. Two-thirds of the real price decline was driven by lower carbonated soft drink prices, and one-third was driven by our incremental jug water volumes, which carry a lower average price per unit case. Despite price pressures in the carbonated soft drink segment, driven by a shift in our packaging mix to multi-serve presentations, our company continued to gain aggregate share of sales year over year. The cola category has continued to expand over the past 2 years and was the main driver of the carbonated soft drink industry growth in 2006. Now, colas represent over 62% of our total volumes in our Mexican territories versus under 59% a year ago. Sales of brand Coca-Cola increased 3.7% in the fourth quarter and 5.6% in the year. In addition, our returnable base increased 2.6% for the year and remained stable for the fourth quarter of 2006, demonstrating the brand's strength and successful innovative returnable packaging strategy implemented during the year. The successful introduction of the 1.25 liter returnable glass presentation of brand Coca-Cola, combined with the performance of the 2.5 liter returnable PET presentation, offset lower flavor carbonated soft drink volumes in the quarter. To continue the innovation behind brand Coca-Cola and to reinforce its popularity among teens and young adults, we introduced Coca-Cola Zero at the end of January. Coca-Cola Zero offers a similar taste to Coca-Cola Classic without the calories. This new product will target single-serve consumption occasions, including mini cans, regular cans, and 600 milliliter non-returnable PET presentations at similar price points to the Coca-Cola Classic brand. We expect to foster important single-serve transaction growth and to continue expanding our share of revenues in the single-serve segment. On the profitability front, our gross margin remained relatively stable, declining 30 basis points, and gross profit declined 1.1% as a result of higher sweetener costs and lower revenues, which were partially offset by lower resin costs. In Mexico, our sweetener costs increased by approximately 5% year over year, and our bottle costs declined approximately 6% year over year. At the SG&E level, our operating expenses increased 6.7%. The increase was mainly driven by higher marketing expenses recorded in the quarter for brand building initiatives implemented during the year, including strengthening our presence in the modern trade. Combined with higher holiday promotional activity to support core Coca-Cola brands. Consequently, our operating income declined 11.8% year over year. During the quarter, after a thorough analysis conducted by a third party, we also modified the useful life of our coolers from 5 to 7 years in our Mexican territories. This decision was based on the benefits of our ability to better manage our cooler platform and the improved quality of our equipment. This modification reduced our amortization expenses by 127 million pesos and benefited our operating income by a comparable amount in the fourth quarter. Mexico's consumer dynamics remain firm and promising. Our pipeline of innovation remains strong and will address every important beverage category in 2007. Our new collaborative agreement with the Coca-Cola Company to aggressively expand our position in the juice-based products will provide us with new avenues for growth and strengthen our non-carbonated base significantly. Together, all of these factors should help us to confirm a potentially difficult higher sweetener cost environment and to generate strong solid cash flow in Mexico. Our Brazilian operation continued to achieve record levels of revenues and profits. Total revenues for the year reached approximately $730 million and generated more than $120 million of EBITDA. Excluding beer, our volume rose 6.4% during the year and 5.2% in the fourth quarter, mainly driven by the strong volume growth of brand Coca-Cola. Our execution at the point of sale and more aggressive media campaign also fueled strong volume growth of our Cristal brand mineral water, which is the category leader in our Brazilian market. With our introduction of Minute Maid brand juice-based products, we post 30% volume growth in non-carbonated beverages for 2006. Since we resumed the sale and distribution of Kaiser beer portfolio in São Paulo, Brazil, in February 2006, we have made significant progress, including more than doubling the point-of-sale coverage while improving the distribution channel structure. Together with Kaiser and FEMSA Cerveza, we are developing a differentiated product and packaging portfolio. As part of this strategy, we launched a new version of Sol in multiple presentations. By leveraging our extensive distribution network and point-of-sale execution, we are well prepared to introduce new products quickly and to improve our profitability across all of our Brazilian market segments. As we have noted before, our financial information for the quarter and the full year in Brazil is not comparable with previous periods because in 2006, we resumed the sale of Kaiser brands and changed the way we report in our financial statements. For the fourth quarter of 2006, our Brazilian operation revenues increased 5.8%, excluding beer, as a result of sales volume increases and better average price per unit case. Single-serve presentations contribute almost 50% of our incremental volume in the quarter, mainly driven by 7.5% volume growth of brand Coca-Cola and its line extensions. Our bottled water brand Cristal sales volume continued growing on an annual basis of almost 13%, driven by a more aggressive media campaign and our execution in the point of sale. Additionally, non-carbonated beverage volume increased almost 60% from a low base, including incremental volumes from the recently introduced Minute Maid brand juice-based products and the Capo brand for Hicks juice-based products. On the profitability front, despite higher sugar prices and incremental expenses in connection with the beer operation, we post operating income growth of 3.5% for the quarter. Our vision of becoming a one-stop shop for our customers and clients is gradually materializing. We are working together with the Coca-Cola Company and FEMSA Cerveza to capture those opportunities. Now let me talk about our financial performance in the quarter. In November 2006, we paid down approximately $329 million of maturing bonds. Year over year, we reduced our net interest expense by 20%. In the strategic front and in line with the new collaborative framework with the Coca-Cola Company that we described in our previous conference call, on December 19th, Coca-Cola FEMSA and the Coca-Cola Company announced an agreement with the controlling shareholders of Jugos del Valle, a leading player in Latin America's juice, nectar, and juice-based beverage segments, to acquire, through a public tender offer in Mexico, up to 100% of the outstanding public shares of Jugos del Valle for approximately $380 million in cash. The aggregate value of the transaction is $470 million. The tender offer will be launched once regulatory approvals have been obtained. As we mentioned last December, we will invite the rest of the Coca-Cola bottling system in Brazil and in Mexico to participate in this transaction under the same basic terms and conditions. Beyond the ample opportunities for production and distribution savings, this transaction well positions our company to capture considerable value in the fast-growing, underdeveloped, non-carbonated beverage category. Thank you for your continued support. By leveraging our market intelligence, innovative operating structure, and a strong growing relationship with the Coca-Cola Company, we see ample opportunities to provide you with an attractive return on your investment now and well into the future. Now I would like to open the call for any questions that you might have.
Due to the large volume of participants, we ask that questioners limit themselves to only one question. You may re-enter the question queue after your initial question has been taken. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to withdraw your question, please press star 2. Please stand by while we compile a list. And your first question comes from the line of Robert Ford with Merrill Lynch. Please proceed.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I feel like I won the lottery getting picked first. Hector, I had a question with respect to depreciation and amortization. When I look at the difference year on year, it's a little bit bigger than the $127 million in Mexico. It's closer to $207 million. And I was wondering if there were any other changes in any other regions, particularly Colombia, that may also have had some change in depreciation and amortization practices.
No, I don't remember of any other specific thing that we have in addition to the coolers. Let me ask Alfredo to review this number and maybe get back to you. The other issue that we did is that we also adjusted, but that we shouldn't have any major effect here, the residual value of our assets, and we so that we avoid having write-downs as we were selling the asset, because usually we stay with a larger value that we can realize. Now we are taking all the assets to a zero value at the end of the life, but at the same time, we review the life of these assets and we extended the life, depending on the category, for a few years. And the total effect of that movement is basically neutral. So but let me ask Alfredo to review that and get back to you with a little more detail on that now. But the main impact on depreciation clearly is the life of the coolers.
And reducing residual value, as long as they're fully depreciated, that wouldn't have had an impact, right? This has to be something different. And then, you know, on the same theme, this is just for financial accounting purposes. It's not for tax accounting purposes. This does not impact cash flows at all. Is that correct?
No. It's just for financial purposes. We hire a company to do an analysis of all the coolers that we have in Mexico, and on average, they were coming a little bit with a life expectancy a little bit higher than 7 years. We did also some benchmarking of some of our peers. Some of them are using 10 years, some of them are using 5 years. So we commented with our auditing committee, and the decision was taken to take the life of the coolers to 7 years. We decided to be very open about this so that is very clear on our numbers, and that's why we are describing a reduction in our operating profit of 11.8 as opposed to the four that you will see with the numbers as they are in the street. And that, Robert, is very important that we mention that this is not that we are changing the policy that we have for depreciation, is that we are changing the estimate after we have done extensive investments in controlling the coolers. In the past, it was often the case that when a store was closed or moved space, you would not find the owner of the store or the cooler. Now we have a much stronger control on that. Every cooler has a plaque that is controlled, a tag that is controlled with our handheld computers. And obviously, as time has evolved, also the quality of the cooler that we are buying is much better. No? So at the end of the day, it's not a change in the policy, but rather a change in the estimate that we have for the life of the cooler. So.
Thank you very much, Hector. Thanks for the transparency and the explanation. Take care.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Lore Serra with Morgan Stanley. Please proceed.
Good morning. I wanted to ask a couple questions on Mexico. In the conference call for the third quarter, you talked about having taken pricing in September on the 2.5-liter returnable Coke and the 2.5-liter non-returnable flavors. And we really couldn't see that pricing in the fourth quarter. And you mentioned the switch to multi-serve. So I guess what I'd like to understand is, did the price increase get rolled back, or did the switch to multi-serve just dominate the pricing you took in multi-serve? So that's a specific question, but if you could also talk a little more generally about your pricing outlook in Mexico for 2006, that would be helpful.
Yes, Lori, good morning. I think that in general, we did some price increases, as you correctly pointed out, during the third quarter. And as we were facing a much more competitive environment, especially in the Valley of Mexico, during the fourth quarter, we extended the life of our the promotional activity that was called the Tapi Pesos. If you remember, it's this 1 or 2 peso price under the cap for some of our packages, multi-serve packages. And I think that, in general, what I can say on the pricing front is that out of the 3% reduction that we have in real price during the quarter, around 1 percentage point, one full percentage point has to do with the increase in the mix for jug water, and the fact that as jug water has been introduced in new territories, we have a reduction in the price of the jug water also, an important reduction as part of the introductory efforts. And therefore, the remainder is around 2% reduction in the real price for the water, for Mexico. The good news is that we have been able to maintain through this promotional activity and also to a bit larger marketing expenses during the fourth quarter, we have been able to maintain and improve and actually increase our our share of sales in the territories. The more difficult market that we have in Mexico, as you can imagine, when you visit Mexico, is certainly the Valley of Mexico. That's where we have one of the largest market penetrations in terms of absolute numbers. And that's where the competitive environment is turning a little more tougher. We do have the presence of Carritos and Red Cola with a lot of marketing activity with TV advertising and everything in the Valley of Mexico especially. And therefore we decided to dedicate a little bit more resources to these promotional activities and to our marketing efforts in the quarter. So as I say, the good news is that we have been able to defend our market and actually increase the size of our market penetration during this period. Obviously, the negative part of that is the effect that has in the profitability of the company. No? As I mentioned, we have suffered a little bit on the price front. We have suffered a little bit more on the operating expense line, and we have extended a little bit more on the marketing side. The other positive twist about this of this marketing activity that we're seeing is that when you look at the numbers that the brand Red Cola is getting, where they have a very large a very large price gap vis-a-vis our products, the main player that is being affected here, most of the volume that Red Cola is getting is from Big Cola. At the end of the day, it does have an impact on Pepsi Cola and ourselves, but the main party affected by this activity is being Big Cola. The remarkable part of our increasing market share is that when we compare versus the same period of last year, the price gaps that we are sustaining are actually increasing when we look at the cola category. No? Right now, when you look at the total industry, excluding the price of Coca-Cola FEMSA, a year ago we were around 19% price gap, all industry, all products, and right now we are closer to 30%. So in a very tough environment where we have a substantially larger price gap, being able to increase our share of sales, I think is a remarkable thing for our guys in Mexico. Going forward to 2007, I do see on the pricing front, certainly a competitive environment. I don't see a lot of price movements. Certainly, we were a little bit surprised by the inflation numbers in the last quarter, because if you look at the 4% inflation for the full year, actually 1.5% of that or those 4 points were happening just in the fourth quarter. So when you do everything in real terms, the comparison looks a little bit more unfavorable because you are adjusting last year prices and numbers with inflation. No? Internally, we have done some analysis, obviously, when we see our competitive report, and clearly we were to report from the U.S. GAAP in U.S. dollars, numbers would look much better, especially growth numbers, because obviously you have an effect of currency and the effect that you are inflating last year's numbers with a 4% number. But in general, I'll say that the environment and the pricing front for next year is a tough environment. We have been under this environment for the last 2 or 3 years. It's nothing new. There is a new player. It's getting a little bit of share from our other competitors. I think that we are defending our market very well. And obviously, initiatives, as I was saying in this speech, of launching Coke Zero in single-serve presentations mainly. We hope to have some traction again in the single-serve category and start growing those sizes now.
Okay, and just one follow-up, and maybe this is partly unfair, but the disclosure has gotten very difficult, Hector. But, you know, given the big restatement of DNA in the quarter, and we don't really know how much of your DNA is in operating expenses and how much of it is in gross, is in cost of sales, but if I just assume it's all in the operating expenses, which I understand isn't fair, but I would come to a view that your cash SG&A went up 15% in the quarter year-on-year. And I guess I'm not sure that you can explain that kind of a jump by some higher brand marketing initiatives. So I'm sure that 15% is elevated, right? I would have a better idea if I understood how much of the DNA was in each part. But it seems like there was some pressure on the SG&A that wasn't completely explainable. Were there other factors as well that drove the operating expenses in the quarter?
Yes, no, Lori, let me explain to you. If you see the speech, I mentioned that the majority of those expenses is related to marketing, but and I'm talking here out of my memory. If we say that the increase is around 150 million pesos, I'll say that around half of that is because of marketing, probably a little bit more than half of that. And it's important to mention that that at the end of the day, we are ending with marketing expenses for the full year around 4.6% of revenues. That's a little bit on the high side of our estimates. We always try to be between 4-4.5%. And our budget, given the fact that we have the World Cup in this year, was a little bit closer to the 4.5%. We were not getting the traction in the revenue side that we anticipated, and therefore the number was a little bit higher than what we have in our budget. Our budget was basically calling for a 4.4 marketing expense to revenues. We also have some additional expenses, mainly related to information technology. We have upgraded, importantly, our platform as we have continued to prepare this company for growth. And very importantly, we also are spending, and this is a recurring expense in IT, we're spending, and this goes in the in that line because most of this equipment is leased. But we are also having expenses related to disaster recovery plans that we felt was important to have so that the system and all our process can continue to work in case of a disaster. No? And there was also one extraordinary movement of around 20 to 30 million pesos related to a new estimate from the a new actuarial estimate for pension funds. That's an adjustment, a one-time adjustment that we have to make as our actuarial estimates came a little bit higher than what we have in the previous years. And I think that those three components basically cover for this 150 million pesos that I'm describing to you.
Okay. And I'm just sorry, what is the 150 million pesos?
That they wrote the operating expenses quarter to quarter year over year.
Okay. Thank you.
Mexico.
Your next question comes from the line of Jose Jordan with UBS. Please proceed.
Good morning, guys. My question relates to sugar outside of Mexico, because you mentioned in the press release that you saw sugar costs increasing in Brazil and in Colombia, I believe. And if you look at the Andina results for the fourth quarter, their gross margin jumped 3-4 percentage points from quarter three to quarter four, as one might expect, given the big decline year on year in the sugar price of the New York 11 contract or whatever. What happened to you? Why was Andina's result different than yours in Brazil? And I guess it's the same explanation. If Colombia has the same explanation, great. Otherwise, I'd love to know what happened there.
Yes. How are you, Jose? In the case of Brazil, we did have during the year and it's affecting basically every quarter. We did enter into some contracts with suppliers. These were were not financial contracts, but rather contracts with suppliers where we were anticipating purchases of sweetener. Given what happened with the cost of sweeteners in some of the markets, in the international markets, it ended up costing us a little bit more than it should. In other words, if we have bought sugar at free market every quarter, we will have a better cost of sugar in our case. As normal in these operations, this was a decision by our operators in Brazil. They saw a lot of pressure on sugar prices at the beginning of the year. They saw an opportunity to lock up a cost at which they felt comfortable for the rest of the year, and they entered in some agreements that actually bought some sugar in anticipation, and it was actually in our warehouses. No? That probably would cover some of that. At the end of the day, for us, when you look at Brazil and basically every other market, we have had significant increases in sugar. In the case of Mexico, it was also the case. It was around 5%.
That's a special case. I know. I was just more interested on Brazil, but
yes. In Colombia, we have very high increases in sugar. Venezuela was the highest of all because of the scarcity that we have in Venezuela. We have had our trucks stopped in the roads because there's no sugar in the country. So the sweetener environment in general is a complicated environment, Jose.
And in Brazil, what's the expiration of those contracts? I mean, are you still hedged at a higher price than spot, or when will you be able to take advantage of the low spot prices?
If I remember correctly, it should be towards the end of the first quarter or middle of the second quarter, Jose.
Right.
We still have some of those contracts in place.
Yes. After that, we should benefit from the decline of sugar prices.
Assuming that they...
Okay.
I think that is fair to say also as a way of expressing very openly here that in the case of the areas where we use high fructose, we are experiencing very high increases during the first quarter of this year. So we still see a very volatile market on sweeteners in general in the country where we are.
Okay.
Your next question comes from the line of Adrian Teixeira with J.P. Morgan. Please proceed.
Hi, good morning. This is actually Andrea Teixeira from J.P. Morgan. Just one question regarding the environment for in general for raw materials. So you're seeing continue to see pressure on the margins going at least for the first half of the year, correct? Because you're cycling. The comparison is going to be tough relation to the sugar price, especially in Mexico, right? And also in terms of the top line, so you should see, and the market spending, you should see still a decline in margins, at least in the first half of the year, correct?
How are you, Andrea? We are experiencing, as I mentioned, some pressure on sweetener. Mm-hmm. Sweetener costs in most of the countries. We are benefiting from lower resin costs in most of the countries also, and in some cases one movement will offset the other. And I think that also I'd like to point out that the fact that the top line growth that we are experiencing with all the market segmentation in prices where we can increase prices in some of the countries, I think that we have a remarkable top line growth for this quarter. So what we are anticipating is that top line will continue to grow, and we will have some pressure on some of these raw materials. Yes, maybe in some cases, depending on rising prices, some of that will be offset with a lower rising price. The most important case is Mexico for the increases in sweetener, because as you know, We are heavy users of high fructose. Mm-hmm. We probably need to change our mix of sweeteners. We are in the process of doing that. And of the three sweeteners that we use in Mexico, mainly raw sugar, refined sugar, and high fructose is the one that is increasing while some of the others are coming down. So we will continue to work in all the value chain to try to look at the lowest possible cost structure for us now. But we are having some pressure on the cost side. But contrary to what you say, I do think that we will have important growth on the top line.
Okay, but on the margin front, you're still going to see some pressures on at least on the first half of the year, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
The first half of the year is where we are seeing this volatility on the raw materials.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, on the marketing spending, we saw you guys and ARCA announcing that you had finally reached somehow of an agreement that is not disclosed, but in terms of sharing back the market spending and that rebate from Coke, just that is only going to be used for the non-carbonated or the new categories, right? So that rebate is not going to sort of alleviate your increased market spending going forward. Is that the fair assumption? Most of it is going to go to capital expenditures?
Well, I say, Andrea, that in general, we need to look at the more efficient way of using those dollars. It's not totally married to a category or to a specific capital expenditure. The agreement is that in our case, both companies, the Coca-Cola Company and Coke Venture, will sit down and decide how to spend those additional resources. But there is no pre-agreement that has to be dedicated to a specific area.
Okay, great, Hector. Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Renato Santana with Deutsche Bank. Please proceed.
Yes, good morning. Well, most of my questions have been answered, except do you expect the reduction in PET prices to be sustainable for the rest of the year of around 10%? And the other question to do with Colombia is, has Bitcola already arrived in that market, and how should it change the competitive environment there? Thank you.
Yes, with your first question, yes, we are seeing a sustainability of reduction in PET prices of around 10% versus 2006. And with respect to Bitcoin in Colombia, we are expecting their entrance around the second quarter of 2007. That's basically the news that we have on that front.
Great, thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone telephone. And your next question comes from the line of Celso Sanchez with Citigroup. Please proceed.
Hi, good morning. Just to go back to the marketing expense issue in Mexico, can you help us understand how much of this was, I understand that you did it for partially for competitive reasons in the fourth quarter. Is this something that we should think of structurally as, given the 30% price gap you have now, as more baked into the cost to compete? Or was this, because you mentioned, at least by way of explanation in the press release, that it was associated with initiatives implemented earlier during the year. So I wonder if it was just an issue of timing and some payments came due or what it really was in terms of timing there and how that, you know, would reflect or suggest we should be thinking about it going forward for 2007 and on.
Yes, good morning, Celso. I think that in general, in some of these specific accounts, as it happens sometimes at the end of the year, you are doing some provisions during the year, and then, for example, in this specific case with marketing, our revenues were slightly below what we were anticipating when we started the year. So we ended up having to adjust the fourth quarter. But that's not a very important number. There is a timing issue there involved in this high number for the fourth quarter. No? But again, the way we work is that we agree on a budget with the Coca-Cola Company at the beginning of the year. Usually that number is around 4 to 4.5% of revenues. the part that corresponds to Coca-Cola FEMSA, and you know that the Coca-Cola company spends a similar amount on their side. This time around, because of the World Cup, we were in the high end of that range, around 4.5%, and because of the marketing activity related to this event that is every 4 years, and we ended up with a 4.6% for the full year when we look at the number. I think that given this price gap that we are seeing, somewhere on the high end of the range, closer to 4.4-4.5% is what we should be expecting for 2007 as a more structural level of investment given the competitive environment in the industry.
Okay, and looking ahead to 2007, as we talk about these agreements with Coke, does your agreement have any contingency in terms of the amount of the marketing spend that Coke reinvests from its increased fees from concentrate? In other words, do they reinvest contingent on you spending a similar amount in increase, so you're kind of hit twice, or is it really they get the gain from the concentrate increase and a certain percentage of that they agree to reinvest in the market on ways that you both agree to, but that doesn't necessarily require increased spending from you?
No, it's as you were explaining at the end. We have to continue spending similar amounts, again, agreeing in a budget between 4-4.5%, as I mentioned, probably more in the 4.4-4.5 due to the competitive environment, and they will be spending a similar amount of that. And on top of that, they will spend on only themselves an additional portion of marketing expenses because of this because of this increase in the concentrates. So in other words, part of the concentrate revenue that they will get will be only spent by them. We will not be putting a similar amount on that specific issue. Okay. Is it clear, Celso?
Yeah, that's very clear. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Your next question comes from the line of Michael Schwab with Otho Capital. Please proceed.
Actually, my question's been answered. Thank you.
Please stand by for your next question. And your next question comes from the line of Lore Serra with Morgan Stanley. Please proceed.
Yes, yeah, sorry to ask so many questions on Mexico, but I'm going to go back there. I thought you mentioned in your opening comments that your returnable mix has gone up with the 1.25 liter. And if I look on page 16, it looks like your returnable mix is down 60 basis points. So I wanted to make sure I got that right. And second, I don't know if you'll answer this question or not, but you know, there are a lot of things going on right now in Mexico between the competitive environment that you've talked about, the evolving raw material environment, the Coke increase, which, you know, is out there, but we're not exactly sure how much. What's your level of confidence that as you look out to 2007, that you can sort of hold the margin at, you know, the 26%-ish level that you earned last year in terms of EBITDA margin looking out to 2007?
Laurie, let me review those numbers on the returnable. I think that we might have a difference between the full year versus the quarter, and maybe, I don't know if that's the difference that we were referring, but in general, if I remember correctly, is on our returnable product, when you look at the full year, is increasing a little bit, and in the case of the fourth quarter specifically, we are having some success with the 1.25. Although the 2.5 returnable is coming down a little bit, so I'm not sure exactly how the fourth quarter.
The returnable base is increasing as a percent, but as a percentage of total volume is declining because the one-way products are growing more than the returnables.
Okay. Now let me go back to the 2005. I think, Gloria, that in general our objective will be to increase that margin. And certainly, as you can expect, we have high hopes on, again, and I expressed that idea at the beginning, that we will be able to increase the top line substantially to offset some of the pressure that we will have on raw materials. The very large variable that we have here is raw material prices and how PET can compensate sugar or not. And that will be the driving force behind us being able to maintain or increase a little bit the margins that we have in 2016.
Okay, thank you very much.
And this is all the time we have for questions. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Hector Trevino for closing remarks.
Well, thank you all for your interest in the company, and as always, Alfredo and Julieta are available to answer any remaining questions.
This concludes the presentation. You may all now disconnect. Good day.